This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's hour two on this Wednesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Glad to have you on board. Stay as long as you like. Hall of Famer Joe Thomas. And yes, I just did some research. It's rare when we do it. The lowest winning percentage of a team the Hall of Famer played for. Let me see. I got the numbers here. Joe Thomas, congratulations. He won 0.273 of his games. He won 48 games in his career. O.J. Simpson is second. He won 47 games. Ollie Mattson's on there. Leroy Selman played for Tampa Bay. Calvin Johnson's in there. Floyd Little, Dick Butkus. Those are some of the players in the Hall of Fame. But Joe Thomas, who will join us coming up. I'm not going to lead with that. But the fact that you can stand out on bad teams and be great on a bad team, even harder to do. But Joe Thomas got in. And we'll ask him about what Deion Sanders is saying. Should there be, I think there should be a penthouse level for first ballot Hall of Famers. Nobody's going to argue with that. Hey, did you get in first ballot? I did. Okay, now we do some. And maybe you separate it a little bit. And that's what Deion is saying. Hey, everybody's in there, but is everybody really the same kind of Hall of Famer, is what Deion is saying. And I've talked about that with baseball. Bill Simmons has talked about this, where you create maybe floors, a penthouse, a third floor, second floor, first floor, and you have Babe Ruth and Ty Cobb and Lou Gehrig and some of those players, and then next level, next level. And you could do it with voting percentages if you wanted to. But we'll talk to him about that coming up. We finally heard from Aaron Boone. He got thrown out of a game. I don't even know how to describe what he did. So he's on his hands and knees, and he's drawing lines, and then he's complaining about balls and strikes, and he's clearly wrong in what he was arguing. Now, there could have been other calls where maybe he would have been correct, but he goes out there, and he has a problem with the umpire. And he's down on his hands and knees. And I feel embarrassed for these managers, because for some reason Davey Martinez with the Nats, you go back to Earl Weaver and Billy Martin, like this was allowed, this was part of the game. Oh, he's got his, he turned his hat backwards, he's going to be right in the umpire's face, and I'm going to tell you something, he's going to get tossed, but he's going to get his money's worth. Okay, and then you watch it and you go, God, this looks silly. Here's Aaron Boone talking about getting tossed from a game.
I think I embarrassed Bella Boone a little bit, so I don't like that. I also felt like I needed to fight for, what I thought was happening within that game.
Did you hear from any of your cohorts in managing regarding the...
Yes, I heard from quite a few. But yes, I heard from a lot. All I know is Laz was telling me, go, so he, I feel like in a way, egged me on to go make a fool of yourself. So I guess I obliged.
And I get it, but is there a better way to make your point? Laz Diaz was the umpire, and according to umpire auditor, he missed 21 calls in the Yankees-White Sox game. 14 of the 21 calls went against the Yankees. After 8 innings of bad calls, Aaron Boone exploded, was ejected, and gave his best Laz Diaz impression. Can you get your message across differently? All right? Could you go out and say, Laz, look, I got the data to back this up. You can run me all you want. I'm not going to make a big deal out of this. I'm not going to embarrass myself. I'm not going to draw more attention to you, literally, by drawing in the dirt. But can we talk about this? Can we address this? Can we look at this? Can I look at this after the game with you? Can we look at this together? If I'm wrong, you can tell me I'm wrong. Like, can you do it in a way that might be a little more mature? Or do you have to do the histrionics here? Yeah, Paulie.
But I wonder if Aaron Boone knows that, you know, once you walk out there, they get on their heels, umpires, and they're looking. You're questioning me. You can't question me, even though the umpire is clearly wrong most of the time.
Yeah, but you're going out there now. Now, how does Laz Diaz, the umpire, compartmentalize that and not think about Aaron Boone doing what he did? Like, well, I'm just going to forget that even happened.
Right, but maybe now the attention that Aaron Boone got on this guy, Laz Diaz's name is not, you know, for me, household, and now I know him as a umpire who's subpar. And I wonder if it's like the league will look into it and talk to him.
Angel Hernandez has been umpiring for a long time.
It's embarrassing.
Yes. And people have talked about it, and he's still umpiring. They don't get rid of these umpires. Yes, Todd.
Supreme Court justices.
They could have a normal conversation, as you pose, but there's something about an adult temper tantrum when they're wearing the baseball uniform that's just lovely.
Lovely?
Yeah, with Billy Martin, Lasorda, Earl Weaver, Sparky, whatever. I just find that so entertaining.
But you're stuck in the 70s and 80s.
It's very entertaining. And no, in any age.
This is not. I mean, it is in an embarrassing way. Like, you're laughing at, not with. That's Aaron Boone. Your dad played the game. Your brother played the game. I mean, what are you doing?
It's wonderfully immature.
Thank you, Todd. The biggest movie in the world is about to level up your streaming game. Join Mario and Luigi on a whirlwind adventure through the Mushroom Kingdom with the Super Mario Brothers movie, streaming now exclusively on Peacock. Yes, Marv?
I saw that. I had a big icy. Now it's on Peacock. My son's watched it 8 times already. Let's go.
It's a new movie?
Yeah, it came out in the theaters a few months ago. Now streaming right here on Peacock.
Oh, Seth Rogen is in it.
Jack Black's in it.
Oh.
They're the voices?
They are.
Okay.
Keegan-Michael Key, we love that guy.
All right. You know, the Mushroom Kingdom. You visited that, didn't you, Seton?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, one time I passed out at the Mushroom Kingdom and woke up throwing up all over the place. It's terrifying. Changed my life.
Yeah, I'm not too familiar with Super Mario.
It was a video game at first.
Yeah,
very big.
I remember. I never played video games.
It was a thing called Nintendo.
I never had Nintendo.
Did you have Super Nintendo?
I didn't have any of that.
No Mario Kart.
Nothing.
Dan, you missed the window. You were into girls and cars and beer and other things while we were playing video games.
But I've never played Madden.
What?
I know, I haven't.
That's all I did.
Yeah, I never.
Not even with your son?
No.
Be a dad.
No. No. I wanted to be outside. Not, you know, playing with a headset on with, you know, some guy in Seattle. You know, World of Warcraft or Call of Duty.
You said Halo? Doo-doo.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, be a dad. All right, go ahead.
What's poll question for hour two, Seton O'Connor?
Oh, man. We put up there, Dan, more pressure this season on the Jets or the Bills?
Hmm.
Right now, 57% of the audience have it on the Jets. Some people are saying that the major market team always has more pressure on them. I don't know if that's... Bills
had a lot of pressure on them the last 2 years.
Last couple of years, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, who has more pressure on them, the Jets or the Cowboys? Because I don't think the Bills had the same pressure this year that they've had in the last 2 years.
But they're in that danger zone of the window closing.
Yes, they are.
You know, I don't know who has a longer window, the Jets or the Bills.
I would say the Jets right now. Buffalo lost some players. You had the Stephon Diggs situation in the offseason. The DeMar Hamlin situation with him coming back. Hopefully he makes the team. But if he doesn't, then you wonder what kind of fallout you have with that. Sean McDermott, you know, is the seat a little warmer for the head coach there? You're in a tough division. And we keep waiting for them to take the next step, and they haven't been able to do it. Now that's how quickly we move on. We give you like 2 years, and then we move on.
Man, that seems like not the move.
Well, who do you think will be better this year, the Bills or the Jets?
Well, I'm already on record saying the Jets are going undefeated.
That's
based
true.
On episode
That's
one
true.
Of Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
So.
All you needed to do was watch one episode of Hard Knocks.
Oh, my gosh.
You're all in. A couple of phone calls in here. Tom in North Carolina. Good morning, Tom. What's on your mind today?
Good morning, DP.
Good morning.
Yeah, I did have a quick question about your book tour and things like that, but I did take a little bit of offense to your making a skeptical of my alma mater, Crappensburg State, yesterday.
You went to Crappensburg State, huh, Tom?
I actually got a BS degree from there.
All right, Tom.
All right. Thank you, Tom. Thank you. Yeah, and are we going to make the Crappensburg State t-shirts, Seton?
I believe we're efforting this week. Yeah.
They're in production?
Yeah.
All right. Doug in North Carolina. Good morning, Doug. What's on your mind?
Well, a conversation you just had, I had 2 days ago about phrases that really annoy us in the English language.
Yeah.
I brought this up at a dinner table. I thought I was making a brilliant point. Everyone else at the table disagreed with me. I want to get your guys' opinion because there's one phrase that really irks me, and it's the phrase, whether or not. I think it's horribly redundant. Whether means if. You would never say, if or not Dan retires in 4 years. I think you don't need the or not. Whether more or less sums it up. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong, but, I mean, technically you're right. Technically you're right. Technically you're right. We'll work on that. We got 4.5 years to work on our diction, our English. Where are you going to is incorrect. Where are you going?
Right.
Instead of where are you going to? That's another one. Any other ones that you saw, Seton, that people, they offered up?
Yeah, there have been a few. Like this guy, Scott, said, is it all of a sudden or all of the sudden?
I always said all of a sudden.
I think it's all of the sudden, isn't it?
All of the sudden.
All of the sudden.
Okay. Any other ones?
Should have or should have.
Okay.
That's another one.
Yeah.
Apparently historic, the difference between historic and historical, oh, crap, see, that says the former deals with greatness while the latter simply implies it happened in the past. So former would be the first one in the sentence.
Let's not do this to people this early.
Where's the latter? This, I feel like I'm actually talking about baseball stats right now because the catches above athletic achievement or whatever that stat we had before. He's a plus 12 and catches above athletic achievement stat, whatever the hell that is.
I think it's baseball's plus minus.
I can't even understand the description of what the stat means. And that might be more about me, though. But
well, it's the analytics.
Good grief.
Too many analytics. Yes, Paul.
My daughter did ask me the other day. She has to take algebra, and she asked me the question, Dad, do I need algebra? How does a father answer that to his daughter who's 11?
The answer is no, you don't need it.
But
it is required.
Right.
There's a lot of things you don't need, but you still have to do it. Yes, Marv.
I asked kind of the same question at the same time frame as your daughter. And my grandfather said, do what you have to do so you can do what you want to do.
Oh, okay. That's deep.
Like, yes. Yeah. Is it stupid? Yes, Marvin, it is.
Yeah.
But you got to do it.
You still have to do it. Like, I had to take a certain number of religion classes when I was in college. And I thought, isn't one enough? Like, how many do I need? But you had to take a couple of them. And then you had the challenges of modern-day marriage with Father Norbert Burns. I remember, so the priest is going to tell me about modern-day marriage. And I go, okay, All right, I'll show up for a class or two. And I did really like him, but, you know, I'm going, I don't know if he should be telling me about the challenges of modern-day marriage. All righty, anywho, we got our poll question for hour two there, Seatnuka. Man, we are random.
It's what guys talk about.
We are random.
Dads.
Well, if you're curious what we do when we're not on the air, this is what we do. We have these kind of conversations.
We wouldn't be talking to each other this much.
Oh.
We save it for the air.
That is true.
For the air.
When I come in, I remember I would come in the studio and I'd be like, God, I hope everybody's talking to each other. And then I'd come in and everybody was like in their computer, in their world, and I'd go, hey, and then, you know, I'd say something to Todd and then something to Seton and Paulie, Marvin would be in the back, and then that'd be pretty much it. Yeah, Todd.
Yeah, I think that ship sailed like in 2009, maybe, as far as everyone talking before the show.
Having fun and enjoying each other's company. That went a long time ago.
Sports radio conversation.
I know.
Don't Google it or try to look up the answer.
Don't talk to
Test
your co-workers.
Mentally.
Well, we did have the suggestion box, and Todd thought that would be a game changer. It did not work out because I said, Todd, everybody knows your penmanship. So we had an anonymous suggestion box.
Which would have still been more conversation than we normally have before a show.
It
so would I was
have
actually
been.
Trying to move things forward.
Well, why don't you be the leader? Why don't you spearhead this?
Come on. What are you doing?
What?
What, talking to each other more?
Yes.
You get to go sit in the other room and close your door.
But I'm always out talking to you.
I know.
I'm mingling.
We have been told to save it, and we save it.
That is true. That Paulie does say that. You be save it.
Yeah, a lot of that's on me. I think too much conversation. Most of it's on me. It's working out so far.
You're doing a good job.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. How do we not have any conversation between us?
Save it for the show. Save it for the meeting.
Yeah, that's it.
But people are legitimately working. It's not like we're purposely ignoring
each other.
Here
we go.
Sports radio conversation.
Yeah.
You gotta answer.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's get
test yourself mentally.
Yes, God, I just
the best. That's... I woke up singing that this morning. That specific line: don't Google it or try to look up the answer. Test yourself mentally.
It's a major earworm,
man.
And I think today is
one year
anniversary. Oh, then we have to play the tribute to the lovely, talented Olivia Newton-John.
Oh no, it is.
Yeah, it was a year ago.
Wow.
I could sing Xanadu instead. Or do you
No. This one. Disaster.
Up with questions that I know you like. It makes good sports radio conversation.
God.
You gotta answer it just right. You know what I mean. Don't Google it. Just try to think it out. Challenge yourself mentally.
God.
Make sure you know what you're talking about or get embarrassed on radio and TV. Let's get quizzical.
So that's
quizzical.
That's Todd.
I wanna get quizzical. Let's get
What? You're going to say what?
I was going to say, should I have sung that instead of Hall & Oates Friday night at the Darius Cup?
Some probably feel like you had the same notes there.
Let's bring out Fritz. He's going to sing some Let's Get Quizzical Olivia Newton-John tribute.
Let me take a break here, right? Phone calls coming up. Joe Thomas, freshly minted Cleveland Browns offensive lineman, will join us. I want to know if he's seen the Johnny Manziel documentary, and what's he think of Deion saying, first ballot Hall of Famer. Joe would be up in the penthouse, right? First ballot Hall of Famer. We'll come back after this. Dan Patrick Show. Summer's in full swing. Time to fire up the Traeger grill. I did that last night. My wife goes, hey, how about burgers? I said, all right, how about Traeger? She said, all right, you're responsible. So have a little small refrigerator outside by the Traeger. Therefore, you have a couple of beverages, and then you're fine. You're left alone. Traeger, they take care of everything. There's no heavy lifting. It's just like, all right, set it, forget it. I got the Wi-Fi connectivity. I can look on my phone if I want to. Flat Rock Flat Top Grill, awesome. Ironwood Grill, they launched that earlier this year. Beautiful. It's like a rolling kitchen is what it is. When we were at the Super Bowl in Scottsdale, man, Chad pulled that thing out. It's almost like you need a U-Haul for it. Or there should be brake lights on that thing or a license plate. Traeger.com. Get some recipe inspirations there, step by step, and you can do it just like Tyler does every Friday. Join the Traegerhood, and don't forget, use DP Show at checkout for free shipping. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, I haven't even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Sound the trumpets. It's horse racing time, so saddle up for all the action with DK Horse, an official DraftKings affiliate. Right now, new customers who download the DK Horse app get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250. Just deposit $25 or more and complete the playthrough requirement. Wager on your favorite horses, then watch the races live right there on the app. Download the DK Horse app now. New customers get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250 when they opt in with the code DP. Only on the DK Horse app.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER, 18 plus, 21 plus in certain states to open or access an account and a resident of a state where DK Horse is available. Eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Match calculated on first deposit up to a maximum of $250. Deposit requires two-time playthrough of settled wagers within 168 hours. Bonus released in $25 increments. Deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. See terms at dkhorse.com.
We'll get to more phone calls coming up. Have you guys watched the Johnny Manziel documentary? Paulie, did you watch it?
Yeah, I watched about half last night. It's hard to describe what Johnny's like right now. He doesn't seem necessarily embarrassed about his behavior around the Heisman time and his time with the Browns.
Yeah.
He talks about almost like, that was a wild time. Here's what we did. I didn't watch tape. Not bragging nor embarrassed. He's just kind of walking you through it.
I like how they had some kind of computer chip or something on his iPad, and they wanted to know how much film you were watching. And they showed that it went 0.00, and he didn't watch any game film. Yeah, Paulie.
The one that stood out, he and his agent told a story about a pro day he had, and I don't know if there's film of it, but he and the receivers down at A&M went out the night before, and a couple of the receivers got so banged up that they didn't make it, so people who didn't play football had to serve as receivers for Johnny Manziel. Like he forgot his bag, so they had to break in and find shoes to do the workout, and all his gear was missing.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to watch it.
It's
because I know how it ends.
It's frustrating.
Yeah. He's Joe Thomas, the Hall of Famer. In fact, teammate of Johnny Manziel's, 2014, 2015. Have you watched the documentary?
No, it's crazy getting ready for the Hall of Fame stuff. I feel like I've been living under a rock because I didn't even know there was a Johnny Manziel Netflix documentary until one of my friends asked me if I watched it last night. And I'm a little conflicted like you. I'm not sure if I want to watch it because I lived it. And there's still a few scabs that I'm peeling off right now after those Johnny Manziel moments. And so I don't know. I'm a little bit torn there.
When did you know that this wasn't going to work out for Manziel?
Well, shortly after we drafted him, he like vanished in the spring. Like we were in the middle of OTAs and the coaches couldn't find him. He had come to Cleveland. He was there for like a day and he was at practice and then he just disappeared. And I think he was just on a bender somewhere in Cleveland partying and he couldn't find his way back to the facility. And so it was at that moment I was like, we may have some problems with this young rookie here. If he can't even find his way during OTAs, when he's a rookie, when he should be trying to put his best foot forward.
It's got to be tough for you because you had been through losing seasons. You know, you're looking for professionals. You're trying to do your job at the highest level, and then you can't even trust your quarterback. How frustrating is that for you where you're playing at a all-pro level, and then you got a no-show level with your quarterback? Mm.
Yeah, it's not a lot of fun, especially when you're an old guy and you're still showing up for mini camps and OTAs and all the optional stuff in the offseason. And here's this first rounder who's supposed to be doing everything he possibly can to earn the trust and respect of his teammates. And he's missing and he can't find him. So that was really frustrating. But I always wanted to give guys a second chance, give him the benefit of the doubt early on. You know, hey, maybe he's still got an opportunity to turn this around. Somebody had to see something in him for us to draft him in the first round. I know he had a great college career, but hey, even if he didn't have the off the field problems, when you look at him as just a prospect, he was short. He was not incredibly fast or quick. It's not like he was a short quarterback that ran a 4.4 and was just lightning quick where you thought he could make up for it. Like, he had a ton of physical limitations that the NFL game was going to expose. And you were wondering, like, how is he going to be able to get around the fact that he kind of has a long windup to throw? Yeah. He's not really big, so he won't be able to absorb those hits. He hasn't really proven that he could play within the confines of an offense. He was just playing backyard football in college. And then he also doesn't have super athletic ability. So you kind of look at all those things and I'm going, man, how is this guy going to ever be able to figure it out? And on top of that, he doesn't really seem all that committed to being a quarterback.
Congrats on going into the Hall of Fame, the 2023 class. Thank you. Your thoughts on Deion saying, what if we have maybe a penthouse level? Mm-hmm. First ballot Hall of Famer. Is that a big deal that there's a gold level maybe for those first ballot Hall of Famers?
You know, I'll let the people that are in charge of the Hall of Fame and the fans kind of make those the determinations and the distinctions. And it almost makes me uncomfortable there. I'm stuttering just talking about it because being at Canton during the enshrinement and seeing all those other gold jacket guys, many of them who were not first ballot Hall of Famers, but guys that were my idols growing up that I revered as players, some of them like Leroy Butler. I had his poster on my wall as a kid. He was not a first ballot Hall of Famer. And for me to stand there and answer questions like, yeah, I think I'm more important than my guy, Leroy Butler, who, by the way, he made me cry when he came up and said congratulations because he was my hero as a kid. It just makes me uncomfortable talking about that. And I know for a guy like Deion, hey, he's used to talking about himself. So he probably is okay answering that question and proclaiming how he's the greatest and he should have his own closet in Canton, Ohio. But for me, I'm just so proud to be one of those gold jacket guys. And whatever they decide to do, as long as everybody feels okay with it, I'm good with it. But honestly, I don't know if we want to start tiering players that are in the Hall of Fame.
And you grew up in Wisconsin, so you're a Packers fan, love Leroy Butler. I'm curious if you gave it any thought of playing a year in Green Bay. J.J. Watt said to me the other day that he wanted to go and play one more year in Green Bay, but something happened where they weren't interested in bringing him back. Did you give that any thought?
Shortly before the Denver Broncos tried to trade for me in 2013, 14, somewhere in there, there was some rumors before the Packers got David Bakhtiari that they were going to try to trade for me because obviously they had Aaron Rodgers and they hadn't yet secured their left tackle. But Ted Thompson was the general manager at the time, and he was not a guy that really made a lot of trades. Yeah. He was just a draft and then re-signed type general manager. And so I never really put a whole lot of thought into it, but once I retired, my knee was shot, so I couldn't play any more football. However, I do think playing in your backyard, especially if you're a Wisconsin kid like JJ and going and playing Green Bay, the amount of headaches that you have to deal with family and friends asking for tickets and autographs and access, like that would be a headache that would be far beyond anything that he experienced in Houston or in Arizona, and almost would be a big distraction from trying to go out and play, and to the point where I don't know how much you'd be able to enjoy it if you were the local boy like JJ or myself.
We're talking to Joe Thomas, the Hall of Famer. How nervous were you this weekend?
I wasn't overly nervous. The thing that made me the most nervous, honestly, Dan, was when we got there on Wednesday, we had so many activities, and a lot of them were like cocktail hours where there was a band playing and you're small talking to these people and you're kind of yelling, you're projecting your voice. And 2 years ago, I had vocal cord surgery. And so my vocal cords are a little bit weaker than they used to be. So my ability to project and yell is limited. And if I do it for like an hour, I lose my voice. And so I kept losing my voice at the end of every day to the point where I wanted to practice my speech. But going into Saturday, I was afraid to use any extra words than was absolutely necessary. So I only practiced my speech one time before I gave that speech because I was so worried about getting up there on Saturday afternoon and not having a voice and having to like try to sign my speech for people to hear me. So that was the thing that made me the most nervous. So once I got through it and I had my voice, it was pedal to the metal, and I can't wait to celebrate the rest of the weekend.
I don't know if you follow the Eric Bieniemy story with the Commanders, and that some of the players, I guess, went to Coach Rivera, complained about his style, and you know he's intense and in your face. What works now with today's football player? What kind of style? And he's not even the head coach; he's the offensive coordinator.
The style that works, Dan, is when you show a player that you are giving them better information, better game planning, and better coaching than the opponent. You're giving them a game plan where they legitimately feel like they have an advantage over their opponent, and they're going to be able to now use all the ability that's God given to them to be able to go out and win and succeed for themselves, for their family, for their teammates, for their city, for their team. That's why I always said that Kyle Shanahan was the best coach I ever had, because when you walked out of his meetings and you walked onto the field on Sunday, you felt like you were more prepared. And that's the best motivation that any pro athlete can get. And so really your style doesn't matter, whether you're Bill Belichick, whether you're just a nice softy, whether you're Eric Bieniemy and you're a yeller, like none of that really matters. And the players don't care about any of that. What they care about is you proving that you're putting them in a better position than the player that they're going to be going against.
Yeah, but the Commanders are complaining like, hey, you know what? He's intense. He's yelling at us. You're saying that that shouldn't matter or doesn't matter? Like, did you get yelled at?
Occasionally. Offensive line coaches are known for being a little colorful and having a louder voices than most. But I honestly, it's kind of silly. The fact that I saw this morning, I was working out and I saw on TV, like Eric Bieniemy was yelling at his players and the players are complaining. I was like, what? So I would love to know some more details around, okay, which players are complaining? Are these the guys that are bums, or are these like the starters that are like really making a big deal about this? Because to me, it's about the substance of what you say. If you're yelling at me, but you're telling me good stuff, I'm going to listen and pay attention. If you're telling me crap, I don't care if you're yelling or if you're whispering. I don't want to hear about it. And so to me, it sounds a little bit soft and a little bit like, are we worrying about the wrong things right now, Commanders, that, you know, my coach is yelling too much? Like, what is he saying? That's what I would really like to know before I can say that these players need to buck up and tough up a little bit, Buttercup, or are they legitimately like having some reasonable complaints? Like, hey, I'm losing the message. I'm losing the coaching because he's so worried about just berating us.
The defensive lineman that you would put in the Hall of Fame, who's not there?
He'll be there next year, Dwight Freeney.
That was a battle?
That was a battle. Yeah, the times that I faced Freeney, you didn't sleep much the night before because you knew how challenging it was going to be. I knew what his game plan was going to be, right? He's just going to try to run around you for a full half. He's going to wear you out. Then he's going to try to run you over. And then as soon as you stick your heels in the ground and you try to make a stand, It'll be like third and eight, and he's going to spin to the inside, and he's going to sack your quarterback. Everybody knew when he was going to do it. Everybody knew when it was coming, but you couldn't stop it. And that's why I think he belongs in the Hall of Fame.
Who'd you meet, aside from Leroy Butler, this past weekend, that you went, oh, my God?
It was really cool being able to reconnect with Anthony Munoz, because I'd seen him a few times and I'd worked with him a few times during my career. But I think now being part of that club and having that gold jacket, it's just a little bit different when you hang out with those guys and when you spend some time. I will say, Jack Youngblood, going back to the voice problem, he was outside the hotel on Friday. And he was smoking a cigar and having like a Heineken. It was like 10:30 in the morning. And I'm like, man, you're really living the life, aren't you? And he's like, hey, I got a cigar for you, buddy. And, I was like, I can't have a cigar yet. I'm watching my throat because I don't want to lose my voice and cigars are not good for that. But I can't wait to have a cigar with Jack Youngblood because that would be so stinking cool. Not only for me, but for my dad and my father-in-law and all these like people that I were, looking up to when I was a kid. Like that era of the NFL was so cool. And all those guys that went on and were in Hollywood and they had these larger than life personas and personalities. It was really cool meeting them and just seeing those guys relaxed, smoking a cigar and having a noon beer on a Friday afternoon.
How challenging is it rooting for the Browns nowadays?
It's not challenging for me. I played there 11 years and I had Johnny Manziel as my quarterback. I had a lot of other guys that maybe weren't, fan favorites or maybe had some issues in their past, or just didn't play all that well. But I think for me, and I think for a lot of other Browns fans, it's the Browns and it's the team. And that is what we get most excited about. And that's where our loyalty lies.
So you don't factor in Deshaun Watson at all. It's just you're rooting for the Browns as a team.
Yeah, I think that for most Browns fans, myself included, like we talked only about that last year. Like that was all we talked about in training camp. That's all we talked about during the season. That's all we talked about after he came back. And I think for most of us, we're really excited to talk about Deshaun Watson on the football field because what happened off the football field will be dissected and talked about till the end of days, and people will agree, people will disagree, but for the most part, it's kind of a dead horse for Cleveland people because it's like, look, I'm going to cheer for my team,
yeah.
And I know that a lot of people don't agree with us signing Deshaun Watson, but at the end of the day, he's allowed back in the NFL, and the suspension is over. He served his time there, and the Browns were not the only team that were trying to sign him, and I'm sure that if he plays really well this year, a lot of people will not be thinking about how he ended up getting there.
Good to talk to you. Once again, congratulations, and we'll be in touch. Thank you, Joe.
Thanks for having me, Dan.
That's Joe Thomas, Browns Hall of Fame tackle. We'll come back. We'll get to your phone calls. And the fact that it was a year ago today, Olivia Newton-John passed away, and we will play the entire tribute that Fritzy wrote to Olivia Newton-John.
Very thoughtful of us.
Yes. Well, very thoughtful of Todd.
Yeah.
Because nobody asked for a tribute song to Olivia Newton-John, but you provided us with one.
It had to be acknowledged, especially on sports radio.
Yes, indeed.
And it wasn't even a tribute song. It was like a parody of a song in case we start doing a quiz show on this show. It was like setting up a bit that we never did.
Yeah. We'll explore a little bit further after this. Panini America, the official trading cards of this program. They sponsor our stat of the day. Brand new NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net. One-of-a-kind digital cards available in the packs, or Panini's got public auctions located on the site. So these are the hottest rookies, biggest superstars, the all-time greats, and the official products of the NFL, NBA, UFC, FIFA World Cup, collegiate sports. Keep an eye out for the NFL and NBA prism packs. More of your favorite Panini brands now is NFTs. Panini NFT platform, keep an eye out for that because it's the only platform where you can win physical versions of your NFTs. Panini NFT trading cards giving you the opportunity to pull autograph cards, memorabilia cards, rare inserts, even one-of-one NFTs from every pack. Get started. Visit nft.paniniamerica.net. The official trading cards and NFTs of the Dan Patrick Show. nft.paniniamerica.net. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Listen to Comeback Stories. I'm Darren Waller. You may know me best as a tight end for the New York Giants. You may also know me for my story of overcoming addiction and alcoholism. You may have heard a few of my tracks as an artist or a producer. And you may have seen the work that I've done through my foundation. And you may know my friend and co-host, Donnie Starkins, as well. He's a mindfulness teacher, a yoga instructor, a life coach, a man fully invested in seeing people reach their fullest potential. And we've come to form this platform of Comeback Stories to really highlight not only our own adversity, but adversity in the lives of well-known guests with amazing stories. Catch us every week on Comeback Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for time tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know I mean? Even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddy, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get some phone calls here. Also, it was a year ago today, Olivia Newton-John. She was a great performer and actress. A singer. She was in a few big movies like Grease. I think it was yesterday was the official date, but I think it was today. Todd recorded it a year ago today. And she was in Grease with John Travolta, and she had a song, Let's Get Physical. And Todd, for some reason, when Olivia Newton-John passed away, wanted to do a tribute song, I guess. What? Take me through the thought process. I mean, I've done this with Bob Dylan and Springsteen And, you know, take me through the process of writing this song.
Yeah, just big Olivia Newton-John fan. I was feeling very saddened to hear the news. I loved Grease, and I loved a lot of her songs. I think Physical was like the number two song after Kiss on My List in 1981 or something like that. And I'm like, let me put a little song together, which ended up into kind of morphing into something maybe we could use on the show for our sports trivia. And I took Let's Get Physical, and then we created this.
We're coming up with questions that I know you like. It makes good sports radio conversation. You gotta answer it just right. You know what I mean. Don't Google it, just try to think it out. Challenge yourself mentally. Make sure you know what you're talking about or get embarrassed on radio and TV. Let's get quizzical, quizzical. I want to get quizzical. Let's get into quizzical. Let me hear your answer now.
Okay.
Your answer now. Let me hear your answer now.
Just be patient. What do you think when you hear it now?
He's still going.
Don't hang up in frustration. We're up against a commercial break.
Your timing is horrible.
You know what I mean?
It's very cringeworthy. It is.
I mean, your singing is, and your timing.
This is a rarely heard second verse, by the way.
Okay.
It was supposed to be something
working
to honor her.
With Dan and Danette brings out the animal in you and me. Let's get quizzical.
Too many syllables.
Quizzical.
Yes.
I want to get quizzical. Let's get into quizzical. Let me hear your answer now.
That's just brutal. That's just brutal. At the time, it sounded like something
okay.
kind of cool.
Okay. But at the time, you thought that that was good.
Yes, at the time I thought okay. that was what a nice creative tribute to Olivia Newton-John that we could have some fun with.
And you know who was trying to sabotage you?
Probably everyone.
No.
Paulie in particular?
He could have said to somebody who was helping you record that, don't give any opinion on it. Yes, Paul?
Imagine if I had stopped that gold from happening.
I know.
Imagine if that would have been the worst day of my career. The guys in back, and Fritzy showed it to me, I'm like, go nuts. That's what I said to him. And then he went back to tape it, and one of the guys in the back says, you know, it's not matching at all, the timing and the words. I go, let Fritzy do his thing, and we'll play it on the air.
It was suggested to me that maybe you're tone deaf.
Wow. That's a little harsh.
It's just in?
I don't think I'm tone deaf, but I just was way off. I was going too fast, and I wasn't fine. And to Paulie's credit, I think he did give me one chance to get out of it. Like, you sure you want to do this?
He did. Because I said, man, I can't lead him off the plank here. And then Paulie goes, no, he's all in. He thinks it's great.
I said, Paulie, stand clear. I'm going to do this song now. Back up.
There was the conversation that happened from the German who was like, guys, we got to stop. He's got to hear the music. He's got to be able to hear the music. Yes. And I think our cameraman was like, the music is playing.
Yes. Yes.
The music's playing right now.
It reminds me of the scene in Boogie Nights where Mark Wahlberg's character is singing, remember, Feel My Heat?
You got the touch.
You got the touch.
feel.
It's that good. Remember he's yelling at the producer? It's that good.
Yeah.
Apparently there is, if you think you're tone deaf, take the quiz from Harvard's Music Lab.
Oh,
if you have
okay.
any doubts, or try this test.
Okay, what's the test?
I'm not sure. I have to read into it a little bit more, but apparently there are some tests you could take to find out if you're tone deaf.
Okay.
Or maybe I could open up for Tone Loc. I could just be tone deaf, and we could kind of go on tour together.
Okay.
That'd be fun.
All right. Tone deaf.
I could sing Funky Cole Medina Wild Thing. I could do Let's Get Quizzical, and we'll sell it
then
out.
Then you could be on with Most Deaf.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Tone deaf.
There's something there.
Yeah.
I think we're working something out. Deaf Leopard. I don't know.
Are we a better show because of that?
Oh, yeah.
You think so?
That is a home run. That is an Andy Kaufman unintentional home run.
Yes, Mark.
Then he can do comedy and be on Deaf Comedy Jam.
Okay, all right.
More Deaf Comedy Jam,
Deaf.
Based on the reaction
yeah.
of Carol.
Deaf. Let me get a couple of phone calls in here. Robert in Sacramento. Hello, Robert.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. You got me worked up this morning with the whole Aaron Boone crap.
Okay, all right.
This is what happens when you give a kid the keys to the car who's never driven before. No coaching experience, no managerial experience, and he's parlaying one freaking home run into a managerial job. That's all. He is horrible. He doesn't know how to argue. He doesn't know how to manage. He has underachieved completely while he's been there. And Dave Ross is doing the same. Dave Ross is doing the same thing with the Cubs. You bring these guys in that were faithful to you as a player, did something big, but have no experience, and they're dragging the team down. Aaron Boone doesn't belong as a manager in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, but the Cubs are doing well, Robert.
Cubs are doing okay, and I think Dave Ross probably had a better career than Aaron Boone. Aaron Boone doesn't belong as a Major League manager.
Well, I'll be surprised if he's back next year. But Aaron Boone is not telling them not to hit. I don't like how he handles his bullpen at all. Like, a guy can pitch a perfect inning, and then the manager goes, well, got to bring him out. To me, it doesn't make any sense. There's certain times where you go, you know what? I like what he's doing. Yeah, got good velocity. You know, the catcher says this. They've got it down, so it's so analytical. How many pitches did he throw? 16. Okay, warm up somebody. And then how many times do you bring in that guy and then he gives it up? Happens a lot. Let's see. Steve in California. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Dan. 5'11", 220.
All right.
Okay, so you guys talked about I'm a math teacher. I've been teaching math for about 25 years. That was always a very hard question to answer when a kid in the middle of class would raise his hand and say, why do we need this, right? And so the first couple of years, I struggled with that question myself. But you know what? I came to the realization that we're training the kids to learn how to solve problems. We're training their brains, trying to train their brains so they can solve problems. So as they get older, you know, so it's not always about the plus, minus, negative, positive.
Square root, right. You're right. I get it with algebra. Thank you, Steve. Hearing from a lot of math teachers that we need algebra. I didn't. Final hour on the way.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.